Okay. Well, I sent out the link to as many people as I could of, you know, to the church website, the audio and the slides there. Fact of the matter was, last Sunday, the class was really small. It's like doubled, tripled from then till now. So just a lot of people sick, a lot of people out of town. So glad that you're back with us. Glad you can join us. So hopefully you got a chance to listen to that. I'll do a brief review just to give us a running start in all this. But I did hear of many who listened to the audio. So what are we doing this quarter? Well, we talked about this. If this was evidences, we might talk about things like biology or chemistry or astronomy or paleontology. In a parenting class, which actually there'll be quite a bit of parenting material this quarter, we would expect a lot of just practical wisdom, advice of things to look for, etc. So the goal is to have some psychology that, as it relates to God's creation, as it relates to human nature, as it relates to practical wisdom moving forward. So we're going to have that in this quarter, but of course, we're looking to God's word for wisdom. So here's our goals for the quarter. Using these Bible principles, our goal is to help Christians to think better, be more Christ-like in our emotions, and improve Christian relationships. Now, if you were with us last week, do you already notice, does this sound a little familiar maybe? In terms of a biopsychosocial thing, right? Thinking, our bodies and the relationships. So we're going to learn more, hopefully, be learning more how we function, how God made us to be. That's our big first topic of the quarter, is how God made us. Address things that enslave us. We're going to learn how to help ourselves and help others in this broken world we live in. Open our eyes to challenges of today's world, and move towards greater courage, faith, love, hope, joy, and peace. That's the goal. Just, you know, small goals like that, right? Nothing too grandiose. So the basic outline of the quarter is how God made us, and then we'll talk about how we struggle. That's like the principles of the pit. How we're failing just in terms of our world today with these kind of issues, and how God helps us and how we can help each other. So when we talk about how God made us, The real focus that I'm bringing to this is not a model that I directly came up with, because you can read about in cognitive behavioral psychology, the biopsychosocial, but we are, of course, going to be adding the spiritual to that. So the biopsychosocial spiritual model of mental health, and that is a mouthful, but that's what we're going to be covering. So this trend in a lot of mental health things in recent years has been the biopsychosocial model, and it's been showing up even within different disciplines of mental health. And when I came across that, my thought was, man, that's really how God made us, is how he's made this world to be. So we're going to spend a few classes thinking through this model and seeing the biblical wisdom that's with that. Our basic point is that just seeing that this is how God made us. So our big questions here, of course, is that biblical? And you may end up disagreeing with a biopsychosocial spiritual model. But then, of course, we're going to be incorporating the spiritual part. So an upcoming homework assignment is going to be listening to a psychologist who's just a secular psychologist, but we're going to listen to it, hear what he has to say about the biopsychosocial model, but then think about how the spiritual connects to all those things. So if you've been with us, what's the bio part mean? Physical, or we might say, yeah, biological, our bodies, right? So that can be things like genetics or our brain or hormones, you know, the body aspect of us. Okay, what's the psycho part? That doesn't mean that you're psycho, though maybe you are psycho. What's the psycho part about? Involving personality, but it's more about our thinking, right? And so personality is a part of that. Are we thinking rationally or irrationally? Motivation, personality, right? Our thinking, our thoughts. And then the social part is not about if you like to be social, if you like going to parties, or that's not the social thing. What's really a word that we mean by the social part? Relationships. And that can be with all kinds of people, with God, with people living, people dead, etc. So what we discussed was, in reality, it's sometimes very hard to really isolate one of these from the other two, because our thinking impacts our bodies, our thinking impacts our sense of relationship, our sense of relationship impacts our thinking, relationship affects our body, our body impacts our thinking, our body impacts our relationship. You name it. They're all very connected. So what we're going to find, I believe, in the Bible is that this is exactly how God made us. So we're going to start with last week's class and then the homework and all that, talking about the mind-body. But we are mind and body. We are soul, spirit, and flesh. The Bible definitely talks about those as different things, right? Your soul and your spirit. We have a heart. We have a mind. I don't know if we are given the tools to know exactly the distinctions there. What box is your mind very different than your heart or your soul or your spirit or things like that? But we do get this general idea there, and that we have this spiritual part to us. And so I have a physical part of me. I have a non-physical part of me. My thinking is connected to my brain, but thinking is more than just my brain. I'm not just a brain, that there's a spiritual, non-physical part of me. So I'm not only body and spirit, but God's made me to need other people as well. And that's, we'll see how much time we have today. That's what we'll be getting into today. So from beginning to end, the Bible emphasizes our need for good human relationships. Well, you could even say just relationship period, because God's one of those relationships. It was not good for Adam to be alone. It's not good for any of us to be alone. You weren't born alone. You were born with relationships. You weren't raised alone. Unless you really, any of you are raised by wolves. Anyone here raised by wolves? Okay, I don't think so. Even still, those wolf relationships would be your fundamental grounding relationships. You weren't raised to adulthood alone. So any psychology or any counseling that doesn't deal with all of how God made us is going to be insufficient. We want to treat the whole person, right? So we're going to have biological factors, we have thinking factors, we have relationship factors that really are impacting all of us all of the time. Okay, that was the review. So here was the homework. List at least five ways the mind or the body, the mind or your thinking can affect the body, and five ways that the body affects the mind. And I said Google can help you if you get stuck. So I'm going to list some of these shorthand on the board because my slides already have quite a few. But let's start here. And you see the arrow of body affecting our thinking, right? Your physical body, biology, etc., affecting your mind and your thinking. So you tell me some examples that you came up with.
1 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is renewed day by day.
Okay, so that's a great concept. 2 Corinthians, and you said that's 4?
Yes.
4:16. And so this idea of outer man and inner man, and so let's come back to that, because that'll be a great place for us to go. Did you have a specific thought of mind affecting the body with that? Or just a general connection and sense of personhood?
I was thinking of it as the body affecting the mind,
okay,
too. That we have health problems, then it affects our thinking.
Body affecting the mind. Okay, and so we'll come back to that then. We're going to say this is health problems. Okay, good. Coming back to ways that the mind affects the body. Yes?
So our mental health can, things such as depression and anxiety can affect our body, causing us to get illnesses and that kind of thing.
Okay, affecting the body.
Yeah.
To illness, right?
Yeah. And also, Jason, you said you can get tired. And
okay. So, keep going with that. Getting tired. Just explain a little bit more.
Just depression can make you feel like you're run down and
Got it.
You know, you can't get, you know, some people can't get out of bed in the morning, and some people can't function during the day because of their depression.
Okay, yeah.
And anxieties.
Yeah, JD, so the concept of being tired is whenever you need to take a nap.
Okay, so I know that.
Oh, okay.
That
you know.
Naps, I know.
Asking, you're like, you didn't know what tired was.
Yeah, tired. Oh, naps. I get that. Yeah, yeah. So depression, anxiety, making us tired, leading to illness. So for example, what's the word I'm looking for? Autoimmune things especially. Seem to be like stress induced, and there's other things, I'm sure. Strokes, heart attacks, anger, repression of emotions, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, other things where mind affects the body. Yeah, right.
Stress leading to like loss of appetite.
Okay. Stress and then appetite, which you feel in your body. Yes, Janet?
I'll go the other side. Mindful meditation.
Okay. So
it's still the mind to the body.
Got it. Yeah, yeah. So more positive.
It's a positive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You do meditation or you pray, you know, that kind of thing can bring a sense of wellness to your body.
Okay, wellness, peace, actually feelings of peace, good. Yeah, Jake?
So efficacy is something that impacts the body, so how we feel like we are doing and how
we are
doing in our work.
Yeah,
And then also to the idea of stress.
Efficacy, or you could say like sense
of how we are doing,
sense of accomplishment,
work at home, our work in the workplace.
Yep. Flow is a word they use of you feeling productive and you're in the zone. That feels very good. That reduces stress. Biological symptoms of stress. Yeah. Okay, what else are you going to say?
So stress is not necessarily a negative thing, right? Like when you have a certain level of stress, that's when your flow, that's when you have a certain ability to be able to be successful. We can all remember tests that we took and we were stressed, right? But it's that idea of chronic stress that has a huge impact on our bodies and the way that we live, that we function, that we eat. The idea that stress is not necessarily bad. Chronic stress, which is the chronic hits.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult.
So like an adrenaline rush is good, but when you're living off adrenaline, that is bad. Yeah, yeah, very good. I'm seeing we're clearly not going to have enough space to fill all this up. Jason.
Well, I think one that is maybe very common and God addresses it through prayer is anxiety, right? So anxiety can clearly keep your body from relaxing, from sleeping.
Yes.
And that's different than stress in my mind. Anxiety is literally that just can't stop thinking. And I also see it a little different than depression as well.
Ruminating. Yep. Ruminating would be those, I'm lying there and the thoughts are just spinning kind of things. Yeah, Brian.
Even just a basic response, like, you know, if you're afraid of roller coasters, and you go on a roller coaster, that fear, you can lead to sickness or illness. You know,
yeah.
Nausea, that kind of.
So I'm just going to call that here basic emotional responses. Right. So let's just go down this road for a minute. Basic emotional responses. You're happy. How do you tend to respond?
Smiling, laughing.
Yeah, right. So happy type things. You're sad. How do you tend to respond?
Tears.
Sluggish. Yeah. Frowning, whatever. Sad. You're scared. How do you tend to respond?
Scream.
Scream, yes.
Yeah, shriek.
Shriek. Not just the noises we make. Yeah, yeah. So fight or flight is a classic description, right? So fear, glad, mad, sad, scared. What am I missing? Mad, anger. What's a classic anger bodily response? You feel hot-headed. Your increase of blood pressure, heart rate, etc. Now, Lori, were you pointing to someone?
Well, Kendra.
Kendra. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, really the opposite of what Ryan said earlier, like gluttony, you know, I would say maybe it's a lack of self-control.
Okay.
Can lead to
yes.
Gluttony, but also it's weird because stress, I mean, I know of scenarios where people are, they say stress eating, like you're eating too much when you're stressed because it's like your therapy, your comfort.
Right, right.
But like what Ryan was saying, sometimes you like lose your appetite when you're under a lot of stress. And
yes.
It can just go either way.
Absolutely, it can. Yes. Yeah, when feeding, when eating makes us feel good and we're feeling down, we're like, oh, well, then I want to eat to feel better. Or sometimes it's just, you know, ruins your appetite. I remember when I was at a time very much in the pit, I'd gone months with no appetite. And then there was this day, like, boom, like, oh, I feel hunger again. Like, that was nice, you know. Yes.
It's funny, though, because the Bible talks about the things that God blessed us with being comforting. So in some ways, there's a natural piece to that where
yes.
God gave us those things in order to comfort us.
Yes.
And I think, though, whenever you get to that point where you begin to lean on that crutch, and I'm more of the stress eater than I am the stress starver, I think that you get, you're over abusing the natural that God gave us, which is that comfort. And then when you're stressed and you're not eating, you're not enjoying the comfort that God gave us to actually make us. He made things tasty for a reason. It's
yes.
Enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah. So one principle we'll get at when we're talking about enslaving is 1 Corinthians 10 and other places. All things are lawful, but not all things are edifying. And I will not be enslaved by anything, right? So we want to enjoy things, but not let them be our chain, and not be enslaved by them. Good. We'll take one more comment.
Psalm 51. You know, David clearly had an emotional, thoughtful response to Nathan and how he was accused, and then he very obviously felt crushed, felt eaten away at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, the psalmists share a lot of physical things, right? When I had this guiltiness, Psalm 32, you know, you're crushing, your hand was heavy upon me, you're crushing my bones, you know, I wet my couch with tears, you know, all those kinds of things. Okay, so are we getting to the point that there's a lot of mind-body connection? Okay, so here's some normal everyday examples, right? Some of which we've mentioned. Drugs or medicine, so alcohol, lowering social inhibitions, right? You say stuff you would normally say because you're drinking alcohol. So this is still, you know, body effect. Did I do this the right order? Body affecting the mind? Well, no, I'm not. So let's, no wonder we haven't covered that yet. Okay, so let me just switch these slides around just because it's easy to do, and then that'll keep us on target here. Okay, normal everyday kind of examples. Okay, the fear response. So I grew up hearing fight or flight, but come to find out that people also talk about freeze, fawn, and flop. So various fear responses, right? I mean, fight or flight or freeze is a thing more standard, but fawn would be like you try to appease the person. You kind of roll over like a dog, right? You're just like to fix the situation. And flop is just collapse, pass out, whatever. Okay. Smiling, laughter from something funny, that is our mind affecting our body, right? Tearing up at something sad, common anger responses, muscle tension, heart rate, pressure going up. Posture or body language. This is what the Bible calls being downcast, right? You can look at someone and tell they have certain emotions. Choosing to calm down, right? Choosing to slow your breathing or relax. Sexual arousal, as an example of your mind affecting your body. Anxious thinking that prevents sleep. So we mentioned some of those. So a little more on the unusual side. What about mind affecting the body with labor and birthing techniques that help with pain and relaxation? The women are nodding, the men aren't like yeah, yeah. You know, I went to birthing classes with Julianne back in the day, and you know, we talked about that kind of thing. I wasn't the one giving the birth. It was Julianne who was going to be delivering, but we talked about those things together. Lie detectors, right? Where you tell a lie and your heart rate goes up, right? They can measure certain things. They're not infallible, but you know, pretty effective, at least somewhat effective. Noting trends, at least. Stress that leads to or exacerbates autoimmune conditions, right? You you see a 20-year-old with an autoimmune condition, your thought is like, what has that person been through? You know, you feel for them. Placebo is very interesting reading, right? Placebo is where you think something's going to benefit you, and you get benefit from it, even if it is a totally bogus treatment itself. And the more it affects your mind, the more power the placebo is. So you're doing a placebo study, a study with a placebo, and you just give them a little white pill that looks like a generic pill. They're like, they're looking at this pill, they're like, this could be nothing. This could be vitamin C or sugar. But you give them, you know, an oblong one that's maroon and it looks legit, there's going to be more placebo with it. Placebo transfusions, where all they give you is saline solution, but it feels legit, right? You go to the doctor, you think it's going to help you, they put that needle in your arm, you see the fluid going in. Well, it's just saline solution, but because of your mind, you actually get benefit from it. So it's very interesting. The opposite of placebo is losing your will to live that precipitates death, right? We've heard of that. Psychogenic death, give-up-itis is actually a term they use for it. You know, whether it's in really extreme situations like the Holocaust or just, you know, married people who the other person doesn't last very long, you kind of lose that will to live. And you're like, wow, that really is your mind, like, very much affecting your body, right? There's crazy brain things out there, right? Like, Julianne has a doc, Dr. Winley talks about preparing yourself for surgery, like thinking about not bleeding and imagining yourself not bleeding or turning down the water hose, and then finding benefit from that kind of thing. You can read a book. Dr. John Sarno says that back pain is from stored stress. You can read that. You can think about that. But the point is just, even on the unusual side of things, mind and body are very much affecting each other. Okay, what about this? What about ways that the body affects the mind? Eric, sorry.
Did you say parental reaction to a child's injury?
Okay, yes it is.
Yeah.
Yes, and ultimately I'll put that in the social category.
Oh, okay.
Because how you process pain, if other people are there to see it versus not, oh, it's okay, versus, oh, I'm so sorry, but that's a social. And, you know, that's when Rosie did her pain therapy with her fibromyalgia, they talked about the biopsychosocial model of pain even. So the parent's reaction is huge. If parents flip out over spilled milk, what does the kid learn? That it's the end of the world when your milk spills. But, you know, and they don't sit around thinking, I just learned today that it's the end of the world when I spill my milk, but they've definitely internalized that. Okay, very good. What are five ways, or more, that the body affects the mind? So here the arrow's going this way. Your body affects your thinking. So give me some examples you thought of.
Hunger.
Hunger, so.
When someone's hungry, they don't act the same way.
Okay, oh, they get hangry,
yeah.
Right? Or they may just be thinking about food, right? Even thinking about food. So hunger and mood, you know, or fixation. Okay, good. So good. I like that because it's every day, right? Hunger, my thinking. Very good. Like, when is this class going to end? Because we're going to El Nopal, you know, or whatever it is, right? Okay. Good. Other ways the body affects. But yeah, Mark.
So physical exercise.
Okay.
Endorphins and chemicals.
Yep. So hormones and exercise tends to have positive benefit, right, on mental health. Yeah, Jason?
Yeah, the opposite is too much sleep.
Okay.
It can definitely have an impact on your mental.
You're saying too much sleep?
Or lack of.
Yes.
Either way.
Yeah. Yeah, when someone's sleeping like 20 hours a day, we go, something's wrong, right? That's not good. Lack of sleep is huge. It's huge for mental health, right? We just aren't going to be thinking straight if we're not getting enough sleep. Okay, Jake?
To take the food piece another step further, like food insecurity in particular,
okay,
can take a huge impact on thought processes. And then in today's world, especially in my work, like iPad kids who get those constant hits of dopamine and how that affects their mind. I mean, that's so intertwined, and how just screens everywhere have so much impact on, I can't just say kids, just humans in general.
Okay.
Right now.
So it's very good. So we're going to call that a dopamine hit from screens. And just to make it bare bones, Jake, what are some ways our minds affected from easy dopamine hits from screens?
So you will have pretty extreme withdrawals if you, just like any other, you mentioned, I know you didn't purposely show that, but like reaction to people who come off of drugs. And I'm not equating screens to drugs, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just
but
saying
it's
there
a
are
drug.
Huge, yeah, there are huge withdrawals just from taking a screen away.
Okay. Mood. And you would say not inability to focus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Just kind of some. Focus,
yes.
Learning.
Social relationships definitely suffer as well.
Yes. Very good. Okay. Other thoughts of ways the body affects the mind?
Your diet, like what you eat.
Uh-huh.
What
you actually eat. And also, we'll put with that, nutritional deficiencies, right? That can really nutrition. Thankfully, sometimes that can be an easy fix. You know, one counselor told me some lady was beside herself, a Christian, just couldn't think, depressed, crying all the time. And it was copper. Like once they fixed her copper, it was like way, way, way better. Good. Other things, body fix the mind. Yeah.
There's like a child development theory, the hierarchy of needs.
Yes.
Like if you don't have those basic needs met, food, safety, et cetera, security, like your brain physically cannot move on to that higher thinking, logic, and reasoning. And until your basic needs are met for your body, your mind cannot move forward.
That's
Maslow's.
Yeah, right.
It's Maslow's.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, Maslow's thing, I struggle to know, as an amateur in all this, I struggle to know how much that plays into things. But I think especially with kids, that is difficult. I think adults can do a better job of rising above our hunger and things like that. Yeah.
I'll disagree with you on that one.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I deal with adults all
yeah.
the time, and
yeah.
that those most basic human needs of shelter and the food insecurity, things like that, not knowing, you know, they don't have a job, they don't have a place to live, things like that, it absolutely, we can't move on and get past that problem until those needs are met.
Okay. So, Janet?
Which I think really affects us as teaching others about Christ. We have to realize where they are. And sometimes until we help them meet those needs, they can't, like Katie was saying, think past today. And for us who are comfortable to expect that they can grasp the gospel when all they're trying to do is figure out where they're sleeping or eating. I think that's something we really need to think about and take step by step.
Okay, yeah, meeting people where they're at, what their needs are, yeah. Yeah. Yes, Kendra.
I was also thinking, like, addiction.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Really affects, because, like, for example, I heard, like, in, like, for people who have such a hard time, you know, quitting smoking, it's, like, the nicotine that's, like, the addictive part of it, and then, like, you know, they want to quit in a way because they know how bad it is for you, but it's just so hard,
yep.
you know, to quit. And, you know, also in like, you know, drugs and, you know, alcohol, you know, just, again, they know it's bad, but it's just so hard, you know, to stop.
Yeah, good. So here's some normal everyday examples. Drugs, medicine, from alcohol to, you know, LSD, hallucinations, obviously, you know, pain meds, just the whole gamut, right? Our hormones very much affect us, and so when we talk about even things like dopamine or other hormones, serotonin, etc., the things in our body that are directing those. Lack of sleep is literally a form of torture, right? So just remember that when you're sleep deprived, be like, what I'm going through right now is used in countries to torture people. Naps, we have all felt that, right? You just feel better, reboot the mind. Our genetics. So, for example, OCD and ADHD are particularly linked to genetics. Other things have less of a genetic link. That doesn't mean there's not biology going on, but et cetera. Exercise. You've probably heard this, that regular exercise is more effective fighting depression than antidepressants. And so just that can be so helpful to us. Nutritional deficiencies, right? Who needs this list? But Google told me all these things, right? B vitamins, blah, 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 can be deficiencies that will impact our thinking. On the more unusual side of things, kids on food coloring. Have you been around children who have drunk, what are the sodas? Tahitian Treat or just... that's old school, but just, yeah, Hawaiian Punch or anything with that red food coloring, they lose their mind, right? They ate it, and now they're suffering the consequences. Obviously, brain trauma, right? Like concussions, they can lead to all kinds of things. They can lead to a change of personality, forgetting things. Brain surgery, of course, not every day for us. Old school lobotomy, right? Stick an ice pick in your eye move around the front of your brain. That affected people, right? The Wim Hof method. Has anyone heard of Wim Hof? Are you okay? That's it, of course, right? He does these breathing techniques, and he lives in the cold and reduces pain. And so I put this as the body affecting the mind because it's both working together, obviously. But because of his breathing things, he calls it controlled hyperventilation. And you're essentially able to withstand what would normally kill you. You're actually helping your body to cope, and he has all kinds of world records. Very strange. So what is the point of that whole huge exercise we just did? The point is that God has made us that our mind and our body are very linked together, right? So that's why things like our posture and our body language or reading people is very impactful. It is so crucial to how we interact with each other. And what we need to see is the Bible way of thinking is that this is good. God made us a person to have both mind and body. We're not a spirit that unfortunately is shackled in this physical world. To have a body, that's a negative, bad thing. That's not the way the Bible presents it. That God intentionally made us to have mind and body together, flesh and spirit together. And you can take that all kinds of directions, including the fact that God's going to raise the body. God cares about the body, and he's going to raise and perfect our body. It's not like perfection is a spirit without a body. Okay, quick exercise. Take one of these Bible verses. So just raise your hand. Who wants, do we have someone in every verse? Who wants to grab Proverbs 17:22? Just a quick show of hands. Just a few people do this. Okay, good. Someone grab, Jason and someone else grab Ecclesiastes. Anyone else? Ecclesiastes, Genesis 4 and 40, both together. Those are together. Proverbs 15, 13, so on. Okay, and then Proverbs 14:30. Okay, great. A couple there. And just everyone grab one, but we at least have someone on each. And just real quick, I'm only going to give you about 60 seconds. Take one of these following verses and see what it says about the mind-body connection. I think you'll see a pretty clear connection there. And if you finish one, you're welcome to look at a different one. What does your verse say about some kind of mind and body connection? Remember, all these slides will be on the website, so you're always welcome to go back and look there. Okay. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. What does this teach us about human nature?
Joy is good for your health,
basically. Yeah, right? Happy, this is one of those kids' songs I learned a long time ago. Happy heart is good medicine, good medicine. Proverbs 17:22. So I know Proverbs 17:22. Okay, good for you. So say this, joy helps our bodies. What about this crushed spirit dries up the bones? Yeah, and you feel it, right? It doesn't actually like take moisture out of your bones, but the point is you feel it, and it just this aching body hurt. Okay, if you had to give it one direction or the other, if you had to pick one or the other, would you say that this emphasizes the what affecting the what? Mind affecting the body, or body affecting the mind?
Mind
affecting the body. Okay, I agree. Ecclesiastes 11:7. Light is sweet, and it's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. What does this teach us about human nature?
The sun is helpful to us.
It is. It is. And we could get all technical, right? Vitamin D and whatever, right? It's not just D, because it seems to be more to it than that. I mean, we describe darkness as a bad place. We punish people by putting them in darkness, you know. So light helps our mood, or you could say other things with that. Right.
I think just from someone who's traveled to another part of the world that's exactly 12 hours different, it's very difficult when those times overlap. And the very best thing to do is to go outside and stand in the sunlight.
Yep.
It brings you energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's amazing how it does that with nothing else impacting you. Just go outside and the sunlight will help you to have energy.
Yes, yes. So just helping us through jet lag and mood and all those things. Okay, so probably here we would say what? Mind affecting the body, or body affecting the mind?
Body affecting the mind?
Maybe? I think so. I think that's probably right. Okay, so this is a whole category here. But the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? Joseph comes in the morning. He sees that they're troubled. How does he see they're troubled? Can you read their thoughts? So he asked Pharaoh's officers with him in custody in the master's house, why are your faces downcast today? Okay, what is that? What does this reflect about human nature? Yeah, right.
Could add a verse to that too. In Nehemiah, when the king sees Nehemiah downtrodden.
Okay.
And it's, in my opinion, it's mind affecting the body. I mean, they're clearly thinking about something that has happened, or something they've, in Cain's case, something he did, you know.
Yes. What? Your anger making your face fall, right? So we respond bodily and therefore visibly with our emotions. When people are upset, it changes their face, changes their posture. And we size people up all the time, and it may not be fully accurate, but just the way someone carries themselves and speaks can tell you a lot about their personality and their confidence and things like that. So here, and Ryan gave his perspective, what do you guys think? Is this the mind affecting the body, or body affecting the mind?
Mind affecting the body.
Yeah, mind affecting the body, right. Now, you could put all kinds of Bible verses in here. There's lots of them that talk about being downcast, your face being uplifted, right?
5-minute warning.
Okay. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. So that was a sign to some people. Any thoughts with that? At the very least, your heart can be shown on your face, right? But the a big effect of sorrow crushing your spirit. Here's a good one. This wasn't assigned. Proverbs 30:29. Three things are stately in their tread. This is body language. Four are stately in their stride. The lion, the strutting rooster, the he-goat, and a king whose army is with him. How does a king whose army is with him walk? Yeah, right? Strong. You see it, right? And he's not bad posture like me. It's confidence, and you can see that. Yes?
We talked earlier about, like, children and their needs and adults and their needs, right? If you talk about the hierarchy or whatever, it's the same. Like, you can categorize it the same. The difference is that as adults, we have to, our children are not going to recognize that. We have to sort of recognize that for them, mm-hmm. and give them to that. But as adults, we have to grow up and seek that out, right? Like, our stress, sleeping all day, a lot of that is, you know, we don't sit and reflect and say, why am I doing this to myself? And then other, in other regards, there are times where, as was mentioned earlier, when we're trying to talk about Jesus to people, we're not finding out about them first before we really understand that, because maybe they don't know to seek it out because they haven't been a part of something. And you look at Proverbs 15:13, and actually it's 12 through 14 is what I would say. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. A happy heart makes a face cheerful, but a heartache crushes the spirit. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool leads to folly. So a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but the other two verses are talking about how if we mock wisdom and we don't seek knowledge, then that is what's going to crush our spirit. We as adults have to find those needs or be around people. That's what's so great about being a Christian, right? That's what's so great about being in the church, is that there's so many people who are not Christians that have mental health and depression. Like, where can I find it? They don't have friends. They don't have family. The great thing about being a member of a church is, even if your parents aren't passed away and you have no brothers and sisters, I mean, yes, you do, right? And I think that's the...
very helpful.
That's it, right? I mean, like, that's the point of Christ establishing a church, you know? So that was the point of the Levitical law, right? To keep not just the bloodline pure, but people not acting as the Greeks, right? Or not acting as the Babylonians, because they were barbaric. And so that's the point.
Yeah.
Is that we have to seek it out. Otherwise, we won't have those needs. We're not like children that can be given it.
Good.
Up to us.
Yeah, good thoughts there. 14:30, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh. Envy makes the bones rot. Pretty straightforward, right? Is that mind affecting the body or body affecting the mind? Yeah. Envy makes the bones rot. Okay, so we're going to go forward. We'll maybe cover these on Wednesday. So here's the big takeaways. God made us mind and body together. The body is good. Creation is good. It's biblical to see the body as a good thing. God plans to redeem the body in the resurrection, right? It was the pagan Greeks, mentioned pagan Greeks, who gave us Western thought, by the way, who said the body was bad, you know, the body weighs us down. But no, God gives us a body and it's good. Our bodies are broken in this world, and the brokenness may greatly affect our mind. So I'm going to forecast a little bit of this, just to introduce this. I'm really trying to get to the homework so I can give you the homework. Where we're going to go with it is that stress is stored in the body. We'll talk about that. Sometimes literally our muscles are holding our thoughts or anxieties, and letting go of thoughts can be then felt in the body. And we don't want to be too much in our head and not in our bodies. That stress and trauma tend to pull us out of our bodies. That's going to have consequences. We'll cover more of this later. But here's the homework.
End of class.
Okay. So the homework is read Song of Solomon. Okay. Read Song of Solomon, 8 chapters, not too long. I want you to observe anything that looks like mind-body connection. And you're going to see relationship stuff in there too, obviously, because it's a romance. And so it's like, where do you start introducing these things? But I had to pick some homework text. So read Song of Solomon, observe anything that looks like mind-body connection or anything that seems like a relationship thing. The second question, how do these people feel about their bodies? And do you get the sense these people are in their bodies, grounded in their bodies? Because that is just a helpful thing for us, from my perspective, it's a helpful thing for us to be in our bodies, not stuck in our head. That's a more anxious state. So getting into our bodies, grounded in our bodies. So read Song of Solomon, look for these things, mind-body connections, how do they feel about their bodies, and do you get the sense that they're grounded in their bodies or kind of outside and away from their bodies? Okay, that's the homework. Thank you all.